You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Watching the Texans on Monday night, you missed quite a finish in the Rockets-Pistons game. Don't know how to break it down, just a bizarre finish, but the big news, Rockets got the win. They're now 9-5 on the season, first three-game winning streak of the year, so I think we can all be happy with that. Welcome in to another fresh episode of Locked On Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose of Sports Talk 790, and I'm joined right now by Salman Ali, the managing editor of RedNationHoops.com. Salman, man, give me your emotions the last 10 minutes.
Stressful. That was a bizarre game, particularly from James Harden. It looked like it just wasn't his night, and the Pistons did a really good job, to their credit, of throwing different guys at him. They threw Kentavious Caldwell-Pope on him, who's a really good defender. They threw Stanley Johnson on him, and they were just able to get different looks on him, and he looked like frustrated, and it showed visibly in that fourth quarter, particularly from the free throw line.
Yeah, it's interesting because Harden... A couple of people pointed out, despite all his brilliance this year, and again, we're nitpicking because even tonight, 28 points, 11 assists, 8 rebounds, had pretty good defense at times. Even despite his free throw issues, he was 14 of 19, so it's not like he was terrible. So obviously we're nitpicking here, but despite all his brilliance in a lot of areas, it's fair to say that at least thus far this year, he's struggling a little in isolation. What are you seeing? Is it just the length that Detroit was able to throw at him, or what made that tricky tonight?
I really think it was KCP. I mean, KCP does a really good job. I guess he watched his film a lot or something. He does a really good job matching up for these big superstars. Like, he did a great job on Steph Curry last year when the Pistons played the Warriors, and he just does a good job on superstar guards. And he looks well prepared. Like, everything that James threw at him, he didn't bite. And I mean, I think the most fouls Harden got were not on KCP; they're on other players. And it looked like, you know, it just looked like Harden was having a rough time out there, and they're doing a good job of being physical with him, coming off of screens. Mm-hmm. And it just looked like one of those nights. And I think that. You have to give the credit to the Pistons. I mean, they've been a pretty good defensive team this year. They're allowing 99 points per 100 possessions, which is good for a top 10 defense, I think. And yeah, I mean, Stan Van Gundy's done a great job for that team. They're one of the most well prepared teams in the NBA in terms of watching film and getting ready for their opponents. So I mean, I think a good part of this is to the Pistons' credit. They did a great job on Harden.
Yeah, and Stan Van Gundy certainly is an excellent defensive coach. By the way, one thing to put it in context, you know, yes, everybody's upset because Harden missed five of his final, was it eight, nine? I lost track, but five of his final nine free throws, I believe, because he started 10 of 10, finished 14 of 19. But still, even with this, he's shooting about 82% on the year. It's his lowest since his rookie year, but still, you'll take 82%. That is certainly not bad. So I don't want to overanalyze this and make this into a Nick Anderson situation. To me... I've said it on this podcast before. It's Harden, to me, looks like kind of a golfer that's trying to figure out his swing. And I know you're not really a true golfing guy, but to draw the analogy, you know, you'll see like Phil Mickelson or Rory McIlroy, one of those guys, you know, when they take out a driver and they'll just go through stretches when they kind of slump. And I noticed this before the first Dallas game, which was actually 3 weeks ago now. I watched Harden shoot some free throws before at Toyota Center, and he missed four or five in a row, and he just kind of shrugged his shoulders and slumped, and it just looked like he was fighting his stroke a little bit. Are you noticing anything off with his technique, or is it just, you know, kind of we're making a mountain out of a molehill because it's just happened to come at some seemingly meaningful times?
As far as Harden's technique, he hasn't really changed it much since last year. I think last year he made the biggest change in his stroke. I think he shot better from the free throw line last year than he did the prior year. I don't know. It just seems like a mental thing with him. He's shooting 82% from the free throw line, which is still pretty good.
Right.
And but strangely, it's his lowest since his rookie year. As you pointed out, he shot 80% his rookie year. and this is his lowest since his rookie year. I don't think it's a Nick Anderson situation by any
right,
means.
Right.
But it's just something to keep an eye on, and I think Harden had a lot of chances to ice his game late in the fourth, and it's just it's strange. I don't really know what to make of it. If I were to put my finger on it, I think it's a mental thing, and I think he'd probably get over it.
Yeah.
It's something to watch going forward.
Yeah.
But not really anything to panic over.
Yeah. The good thing with James, and if it is a mental thing, you know he's going to get plenty of opportunities to get over it because of how much he gets fouled. You know, a lot of guys, if it becomes a mental thing and then you don't really put yourself in that situation, then it kind of festers because you never have a chance to kind of, you know, play through it. With James, obviously, you know, he's going to go to the line 8, 10 times every night. Tonight he went 19 times. So he'll certainly
What I'd like to point out is I think tonight is actually unique from that Dallas game because I think he was just struggling to get going, and I think that rhythm carried over to the free throw line in this game.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, he was just like 35% like from the field,
yeah.
And he was 22% from the three-point line. And, yeah, it's just one of those games where the Pistons did a really good job of throwing different guys at him, and he just wasn't feeling it tonight.
True. 6 of 17, 2 of 9. The upside for the Rockets, and it is a major upside, is that they were able to get a win like this, move to 9-5 on the season, 3 in a row, without James Harden playing quite to MVP level. And I would say, more than anything, they fought. Even James, when it seemed like all of that was going wrong, last play of the game, I love how he contested the KCP shot at half court. You know, he rotated over, even though it wasn't his man, and got a hand in the face to the point where that shot was never getting anywhere near the rim. And I know we're overanalyzing a last-second half-court heave there, but in general, I thought the Rockets really fought. Ariza had a couple of big threes. The big sequence of the game, I thought, was when the Pistons were up one, it seemed like everything was going their way. They got a wild offensive rebound in a loose ball scenario, and it looked like they had a layup to go up three. And Ryan Anderson, out of nowhere, Ryan Anderson, of all people, blocks it. And then it leads to an Ariza three on the other end, and it's basically a 5-point swing from the Pistons being up three to the Rockets being up two. And that's just the kind of effort play that the Rockets did not make a year ago. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, and you mentioned that sequence. That was huge. I think that was a game swinger. I think if the Pistons actually got that shot, I think it would have been a huge momentum shifter for the Pistons because they were right there. That was right at the basket, and Ryan Anderson, to his credit, he's not a shot blocker, but he blocked that shot. And Ariza, I think you have to give him the game ball for the fourth quarter, man. He was phenomenal defensively and offensively. He was hitting his threes, and he was on the defensive end. He was so stingy. And, you have to give him for the game ball. I think if you're Mike D'Antoni, you have to tip your cap to Ariza tonight. And I we talked about this on a podcast earlier this season as to whether or not Ariza was going to bounce back this mm-hmm. season. And I just think he cares now. Like, I think last year he just stopped caring. And this year he actually wants to, you know, try hard for this team. And that's just something that didn't happen last year. I think after like the 5-game mark, he just stopped caring defensively. And in transition, he was terrible. In half-court situations, he was terrible. And now he actually cares. He's diving for loose balls. And that's something you didn't see last year.
Yeah. I would say more than anything, this was a culture win for the Rockets. James did not shoot well. Ryan Anderson was 0 from 3. Eric Gordon actually went scoreless, 0 for 5. And so, you know, it felt like last year when the Rockets won, a lot of the times it was pretty, but if it didn't go their way, they didn't really show an ability to grind. This was a game where certainly you give the Pistons, Stan Van Gundy, some credit. I thought they did some really good things to match up. But by and large, the Rockets, even on the road, they found a way to grind that game out. And that's something that they probably would not have done a year ago. And I'll give you credit, too. You called it with Trevor Ariza saying, yes, you know, he did decline last year when you look at some of the more advanced metrics defensively, but you put him in a winning culture where the team buys in. And yeah, that's the Trevor Ariza that we didn't see enough last year. I'd also give some credit to Pat Beverley. This was a game where, you know, Eric Gordon couldn't get it going, but it seemed like Pat Beverley, you know, he only had 9 points, but it felt like at a couple of key stretches, it was either the defensive stop or the offensive play. You know, finally you have another option if Gordon has an off game. Whereas before Pat Beverley was there, you know, you're turning to the likes of Tyler Ennis and there's not a whole heck of a lot you can do.
Yeah, Pat Beverley, to his credit, he's I've never seen a player improve like incrementally over the course of his career as much as Patrick Beverley has. I mean, his first year in Houston, he added a three-point shot, and he's built on that over and over and over again. And now it looks like he's become a pretty reliable playmaker for the Rockets. I mean, he's a huge upgrade over Tyler Ennis. And you see the Rockets running things through him with the bench unit, and he's been a huge spark to that bench. Also, Corey Brewer tonight, I thought he played well. He shot 66% from the field, and the baskets he was getting were like legit, like momentum shifting baskets. And I think that's been the case for those two guys, Brewer and Beverly, for the past three or four games now. The Rockets bench looks a lot better than it did at the beginning of the season. We were starting to have some real concerns there in the beginning of the season, and now it looks like with the return of Patrick Beverly and the emergence of Corey Brewer. And Sam Dekker.
Yeah.
Sam Dekker is playing. We're gonna have to have a conversation about him in about a month or so.
Yeah.
As to whether or not he's just a bench contributor. He's been that good throughout the past 5 or 10 games, and he's just consistently. He just knows how to play. He knows where to be in the right situations. He's a really good penetrator. He knows when to cut. He's really crafty with his athleticism, and I just think he's a really good player. And I think the Rockets' bench is starting to. Like, as prior, it looked like a minus. Now it's starting to look like a plus.
Yeah, I was actually going to get to that later in the podcast, but since you mentioned it, let's talk about it now. Sam Dekker, yeah, you're looking at a month or two from now, definitely by next season, having to consider, you know, playing him even more than the 15 to 20 minutes he's playing now. I mean, I think the big thing for Sam, we all knew that he was a very smart player. He has a lot of length. Defensively, he has great instincts. But it's the shooting. I'm blown away by how good he is from three, because that's not exactly how he profiled coming out of Wisconsin. No, he profiled as a decent shooter. He did not profile as an elite shooter. Now, what we've heard from the Rockets for a year was that, you know, when he had that back surgery, literally all he could do was work on his form, shoot from time to time, and they said that, you know, he was very dedicated to his craft. And, you know, you want to buy in, but Solomon, you know, you follow the game just like I do. A lot of the times that teams say that, it's lip service, so you can't fully buy in. And I know it's a small sample size, we're still just about a month into the season, but boy, if Sam Dekker is a 40% three-point shooter, combine that with his athleticism, his defense, all the other elements of his game, yeah, there's a pretty compelling case for him, maybe as soon as the second half of this year, but definitely by next season, to be a starting quality NBA player.
Exactly, and I think this is sustainable, and I think it's actually a larger sample size than people think. If you can, if you include the summer league, because summer league he shot really well from the 3-point line, and that's really when I started to notice him. Like Sam Dekker, he just knows how to play, and I don't know how else to explain it than that. Like he's just really smart. In ways that aren't traditionally smart. Like, he just knows when to cut, he knows when to drive, and he knows what to do with the basketball in his hands, and he knows what to do without the basketball in his hands. And I think defensively, he's not the quickest guy on his feet, but his length makes up for significantly. Like, he's so long, when he loses a step on a defender, his arms are so long, he can catch up and close out in time. And I think, yeah, in maybe at this time next year, we're talking about Sam Dekker starting small forward of the Houston Rockets.
Yeah, and that gives you a lot of flexibility, because certainly, you know, I think everybody here loves Trevor Ariza, but if Sam Dekker pushes into that role, Ariza, his contract is quite an asset if the Rockets need to make a move, or quite frankly, if the Rockets just need to shed cap space, certainly Ariza, his contract has a very positive overall value.
And I'd like to say something on that, because we've been wondering over the past, especially like us nerdy cap dorks, like we've been wondering over the past like month or so with the Rockets cap books, how the Rockets are going to clear cap flexibility. If Sam Dekker, you're right, if he develops into a real starter, I mean, that's a cheap contract.
Yes.
And you can trade Trevor Ariza to a contender and get real assets for him. Clear cap space and perhaps make room for a max free agent this summer. That, like, that's huge. Like, Sam Dekker's emergence has a domino effect that I don't think fans are noticing at the surface level. It should be noted.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point, because people have said before, you know, the Rockets could clear max cap room, but the route to get there, trading the likes of Ariza and Beverly. It's like, well, if you have Harden, Capella, and a max free agent, do you have enough around them to seriously contend? Well, all of a sudden, if you've got someone like Sam Dekker, you know, a starting quality player for cheap, You know, that's how super teams can be built. You know, now you still have to convince a max free agent to say yes, but certainly it gives you an avenue to do that.
There is more to me, Queen Eliara of Elfgard, than my elven magic. Just as there's more to Geico than saving you money, Geico also gives you 24/7 access to licensed agents online, on the phone, or on the Geico app. And while I am a mighty elf queen, I am also a mighty big fan of barbecue potato chips. Minions! More smoky mesquite.
Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
By the way, the other part of the equation that I want to get to, speaking of young players on cheap contracts, and I can't believe it's taken us to the end of the podcast to get to it, but Clint Capela, man, I know we're starting to take him for granted, but he went up against Andre Drummond tonight, and, you know, Drummond, yes, he got his, what, 13 and 16, but he did it on 6 of 18 shooting. I mean, Capela absolutely outplayed him. Capela got 15 and 12 on 7 of 10 shooting. Whereas, yeah, Andre, 13 and 16 on 6 of 18. This is one of the premier bigs in the NBA, and Capela more than held his own. And yet again, Capela was able to play in the fourth quarter down the stretch of a game, which is another big sign for Mike D'Antoni.
This is the second or third game in a row Clint Capela has ended fourth quarters, and that's huge. Yep. Both on Mike D'Antoni's confidence in him and Clint Capela's confidence in himself. He's at an all-time, like, sky-high confidence right now in himself, and you're seeing that with the little things he's adding to his game, like the hook shot. Like Clint Capela has a soft hook shot that I didn't notice until the past few games, and I'm starting to pay attention to it. It looks like he's putting in some work there. Now, he obviously his real value on the offensive end is as a role man, and he's just been doing that. Like, he's been a real hard-headed guy at rolling to the basket, setting screens, and just staying within his role. And I think, you know, I think everybody in Houston locally, he was expected to make this leap this year. And when he started off the season slow, it had everybody concerned. And now we're starting to see the Sam Dekker that everybody expected to see. And it's really refreshing, because when you have a starting caliber center, again, like you said, for cheap, like, that's huge.
Yeah, Clint Capela, yeah.
Yeah, and I think the Rockets have an option on him next year. And I think if you pick up that option, you have 2 years of Clint Capela on a really cheap contract. And he's starting to look like probably a top half starting caliber center, maybe. I think we're starting to have that discussion. Defensively, he has some real tools, especially switching on to smalls. But, I mean, if he becomes a rim protector that we know he can be, because he's a really good shot blocker, I mean, that's huge for the Rockets.
Yeah, I saw Paul, a.k.a. Rocket Intellect, the other day pose the question of, is Capela a top 10 center? It might be a little premature, but it's not completely crazy. A lot of people called him crazy. It's not. I mean, he's getting up there. And just to point out, the last week, these 7 days, boy, you look at the kind of talented young players he's gone up against. Embiid and Okafor with the Sixers, Steven Adams in Oklahoma City, Rudy Gobert in Utah, now Andre Drummond tonight. I mean, these are not just, you know, unathletic, run-of-the-mill 7 foot stiffs. You know, these are some of the most talented young big men in the NBA, especially defensively, and Clint is more than holding his own. And it's just great to see, especially offensively, because the big weakness, and D'Antoni acknowledged it, was, well, what happens if, you know, is he physical enough? Does he have the stamina? And he's holding up. By the way, the other stamina thing, Capela tonight played a career high 35 minutes. So I think in the past week, we have seen Mike D'Antoni go from, you know, it being a true platoon with Capela and Nene to this being Clint Capella's job. It feels like Mike D'Antoni has fully flipped the switch.
Yeah, and I think Daryl mentioned it at the press conference for Media Day. In order for the Rockets to have a big year, he needs to have a big year, and it's starting to show. And he's just 22, and he has a lot of things to improve on in his game. Like, I've always harped on how much he needs to improve in his rim protection, but already he's already becoming solid there. And yeah, he still has to add some mass to, you know, be able to defend bigger guys. But right now he's averaging about 10 or 12 boards for 36 minutes. So I mean, you have to be impressed at what he's been able to do at his size, and he's mobile enough to switch, and that's huge for today's NBA, especially when smaller guards are becoming more and more skilled.
Yeah,
it's huge. I think Clint Capela is going to be someone to watch for the Rockets going forward, because we were talking on a podcast earlier. I was talking on a podcast with Paul, And we were wondering, you know, how are the Rockets going to, you know, going forward? Again, the salary cap situation is something to note. And how are the Rockets going to add a third star, a second or third star? What if Clint Capela develops into that guy? You know, I mean, no one's really thought about that. But what if he becomes that third star? What if he becomes that third banana? And then you add a second, you know, caliber max free agent, and you have the basis for a solid foundation. Now, again, we're being a little bit premature. Capella's not all the way there yet. I kind of disagreed a lot with Paul top 10 center thing, but he's getting up there.
Yeah,
we have to discuss him as a top 15 center at this point.
Yeah, certainly, and he has a lot. He's not there yet. That's where you're right more than Paul, but he's clearly has a lot more upside than some of the guys that are ahead of him, and so that's why you at least have to have the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Solomon.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, last thing I was going to point out tonight, the one negative, if you wanted to say from this, because it certainly wasn't pretty, Eric Gordon, 0 points, 0 of 5 shooting. What do you attribute that to? Would you say that's just, the same length defensively that James Harden went up against? Where did he struggle tonight?
Yeah, the Pistons, again, they were just so aggressive on the wings, and they're one of the few teams in the NBA that can be that aggressive because they have so many premier wing defenders. Like they have some sneaky wing defenders in Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and Stanley Johnson. Like, those guys are legit, and I think people are going to start noticing that. Like, those guys can this team can defend wings more than any other team. And I think Eric Gordon, again, he started off the season shooting really, really hot, so I think it was expected for him to slow down a little bit. I don't know. I think tonight it was just one of those nights, along with Harden, where the Pistons just played him really well.
Yep. Solomon, thank you so much for the time. Before you go, toss out your Twitter handle, your website, what you're working on, and also tell people what you think of the Texans, because I'm sure you loved your timeline being split between the Rockets and the Texans today.
My Twitter handle is at RedNationHoops. You can find all our work at RedNationHoops.com. Not working on anything yet, but I will be. I will post anything on my Twitter feed if I do. It's conflicting because obviously the Texans are probably the premier team in Houston, and I battle with that a lot, being a big basketball guy. It's still encouraging that the Texans, I guess, I think they're winning last time I checked.
Yes.
Houston teams are strong right now, and tonight's a good night for Houston sports.
Yeah, definitely. I like leaving it at that. You know, I have my favorites too, but, you know, I never like the guys that are just, you know, it's fine to be one team only because you don't have to like the other sports, but there are some people that push the narrative a little too much, and I don't want to say they root for, like, the Astros or the Texans or the Rockets
to
fail.
I'm going to root for my hometown.
Yeah,
team, no
exactly. It's like, at the end of the day.
If you ever ask me for an opinion on that team, I'm never going to give you a good one because that's just not my expertise.
Yeah.
I'm a basketball guy.
But,
let's
be happy. We're taping it now. Rockets up. I mean, not Rockets up. Texans up 17-10. Man, the Rockets would be really good if they could beat the Raiders in Mexico City in addition to the Pistons. But, hopefully both Houston teams can win tonight. Solomon, thank you so much for joining us, and I'll be catching up with you again soon, okay?
All right, good talking to you, Ben.
Thank you. That's Solomon Ali of Red Nation Hoops. I think he broke down the game well. Again, big win for the Rockets, 99-96 over the Pistons. It wasn't pretty, but road wins in the NBA never come easy, and the Rockets got it done, even without James Harden in true hero MVP form. They just grinded their way to a win, 3 in a row, 9-5 on the year, tied for 4th in the Western Conference. Going into the year, if you had told Rockets fans that this is where they would be after 14 games, I think all of you guys would take it. So far, so good. Now it's just time for James Harden to get back in the gym and work on that free throw stroke a little bit. On that note, I will wrap up and get back to watching the Texans. I'm not going to try and jinx it. They are up 17-10 right now in the third quarter as I record this. We'll see if it lasts. I certainly hope it does. If you want post-game analysis, good or bad, please head on over to Locked On Texans. That's our sister show on this Locked On Podcast Network, hosted by Robert Land. You can find them on Audio Boom, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, pretty much anywhere where you can find us. You can find them, and you can find a podcast very similar to this, hopefully a very positive tone with the Texans and Raiders once this game gets through. Again, thanks to all of you for listening. I'm Ben DuBose. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben DuBose. This is Locked On Rockets. You can follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Rockets, and you can always email the show at lockedonrockets@gmail.com if you've got any questions for me or if you would like to inquire about becoming a sponsor. Also, one last plug for my column over at sports790.com. If you haven't seen it yet, I wrote a postgame, a pregame column today about the rise of Clint Capela, what he's done over the past 2 weeks. I think it's especially relevant now after seeing what he did against Andre Drummond. So if you want to see that, please go to sports790.com or you can easily find it on my Twitter profile. Again, thanks to everyone for listening, and I will be talking with you again very soon. Happy final from Detroit, Rockets 99, Pistons 96, Rockets now 9-5 on the year. Have a good night.